This is the Josh Hammer Show.
Is there anything that the modern Democratic Party hates more than democracy itself? Sure, all of these folks go around saying how much they care about capital O-R, capital D, democracy, trademark sign. But everything that they do, when you take a peek under the lid just a little bit, is profoundly anti-democratic. How else to explain the concerted effort over most of the past year to invoke an obscure provision in Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, the so-called Insurrection Clause, to deprive Donald Trump from the ballot, to deprive the people, the very demos that the word democracy is getting at, of the right to vote for him if they so choose. You had legal academics advance this argument. You had God knows how many talking heads on the left-wing cable news networks advance this argument. Made it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And in a 9-0 unanimous opinion, they said no. Yes, even Sonia Sotomayor and Ketanji Brown Jackson, left-wing lunatics in judicial robes, even they said no in the Trump versus Anderson case decided this past Monday. No, Democrats are going to have to defeat Donald Trump at the ballot box. But we can't let go. We can't so easily forget those who have sold this package of lies, that this argument is unassailable, masterful, brilliant, to borrow the words of former Fourth Circuit Judge J. Michael Luttig, who was formerly a conservative stalwart on the Fourth Circuit, and he has developed a particularly debilitating case of Trump derangement syndrome in recent years. After the Colorado Supreme Court ruled in December in a 4-3 decision that Donald Trump could be and indeed must be removed from the ballot, that is what Judge Luttig said on a CNN panel. He said that it was a masterful, brilliant, and unassailable decision. Well, if you were to tell me 5 years ago that the one-time conservative judge that great legal luminaries like Ted Cruz and John Eastman clerked for, if you were to tell me 5 years ago that he would be to the left of Sonia Sotomayor and Ketanji Brown Jackson on a basic constitutional question, I wouldn't have taken that in a million to one odds. We all know that Trump derangement syndrome is real. You've seen it in your family. You've seen it in your friend groups. You've probably seen it at your church or synagogue as well. I know that I have. It is all too real. But when you take this to its logical conclusion, if you really take the whole orange man bad logic to its conclusion, then you have to engage in the most illicit, sordid, anti-democratic means imaginable to deprive your fellow citizens from voting for that proto-fascist, or insert whatever fancy adjective you want to use, authoritarian, dictator, whatever it is. And that is what the Democrats are now doing, despite their unanimous rejection at the Supreme Court in the Trump versus Anderson case. They're still trying to deprive Donald Trump of an actually fair election this fall. How else to view the four criminal prosecutions against him? New York, Georgia, Florida, and Washington, D.C. How else to view these absurd civil suits, such as the $464 million judgment, including both damages and backdated interest payments, in the New York City courtroom of Justice Arthur Engoron in New York Attorney General Tish James's so-called fraud case against Donald Trump and the Trump Organization? When you harbor this great of a disdain against the American people, if you really think that your opponent is on par with Hitler or Putin, Stalin, some of the great thugs in 20th century world history, and if you think that lowly of your fellow Americans that they could ever deign to vote for such a reprobate, why wouldn't you go to such extremes as this, whether it's depriving him of a slot on the ballot, whether it's trying to send him to jail, whether it's trying to bankrupt him, or some combination thereof? The shamelessness of the whole enterprise is really, really what should tick you off. Again, this cannot be emphasized enough. This case came down at the United States Supreme Court 9-0. So-called legal experts, law professors all across the country, in fact, one of whom was my own two-time former constitutional law professor at the University of Chicago, Will Bode. I know some of these folks personally. They were trying to delude you into thinking that this argument had a real chance, that it was going to go somewhere, that securing a second term for Joe Biden was going to be as simple as the Supreme Court abiding by the very simple dictates of the Insurrection Clause, a very obscure part of the 14th Amendment that has essentially not been litigated since an 1869 Supreme Court case called Griffin's case. That's the last time the court has touched the so-called Insurrection Clause with a 10-foot pole. When you are further out there on the left than Sonia Sotomayor and Ketanji Brown Jackson, it's probably time to pause, take a deep breath, and think about where you went wrong. On the other hand, you could pull a Keith Olbermann, Olbermann being the former MSNBC host and ESPN SportsCenter sportscaster, who after the court's 9-0 decision in the Anderson case, called for the Supreme Court to be dissolved. Because, of course, there's nothing more democratic in the minds of these absolute degenerates, these animals, these morons. There's nothing more democratic than dissolving one of the three co-equal branches of the federal government. I mean, what could possibly go wrong? Well, I'll tell you what could possibly go wrong. What could possibly go wrong is that when you harbor this great of a hatred, this festering of a seething animus for your fellow Americans, the American people are ultimately going to lash out, and they're not going to take it. They're not going to take it anymore. When you tell them that they are bad, bad people because they happen to like someone who challenges sclerotic orthodoxies, who says, oh, maybe the way we did things when it comes to neoliberal free trade absolutism, maybe the way we did things when it comes to offshoring mass manufacturing jobs to China, maybe the way we did things when it comes to destroying the American auto industry and sending the city of Detroit, Michigan to hell, maybe the way we did things actually wasn't that great. You know, Nikki Haley just tried that. She just ran an entire primary campaign appealing to independent voters and, above all, actually registered Democrat voters voting in open primaries. She just tried that. It didn't work out well for her. She won two primaries. Washington, D.C., the most liberal jurisdiction in the country, where you had roughly 2,000 people who showed up to vote. And she won Vermont, the home of the dude who literally honeymooned in the Soviet Union. I didn't make that up. He literally honeymooned in the Soviet Union, Bernie Sanders. It didn't work out for Nikki Haley, and it's not going to work out for the Democratic Party this fall either. None of the four criminal prosecutions against Trump are looking particularly likely to result in a verdict one way or the other, besides the Alvin Bragg case in New York City. That is the one case where they actually might be able to rush this thing across the finish line in time. That happens to be the most farcical and ludicrous of all of the criminal prosecutions. It is the one involving Michael Cohen and the hush money payments to the former porn star Stormy Daniels. I mean, it's out of a Hollywood script. You couldn't write this thing any better if you were trying. Alvin Bragg's legal theory of the case is so insane that even the New York Times editorial board at the time said that it was a stretch. Is this really the best that Democrats can do right now? Is go all in for legal arguments that are going to lose 9-0 at the United States Supreme Court and try to literally put their opponent in jail because they can't send out their senile octogenarian who is wearing orthopedic shoes and falling over himself, shoving ice cream down his throat. They can't send him in front of the American people. Tragically, it seems that that really is their best option. So the lawfare is not going to stop anytime soon. But the American people are going to stop falling for it. Indeed, 9 justices of the U.S. Supreme Court have now said already, enough is enough.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. Again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build a wall. Like, what?
Ha, ha, ha. Virginia has a border with West Virginia. They are laughing at you. They hate you. That was Rachel Maddow and Jen Psaki just laughing it up, having a grand old time during MSNBC's primetime Super Tuesday coverage this past Tuesday. Quite literally laughing in front of their nationally televised audience at the rubes, at the idiots out there who have the chutzpah, who have the temerity to say that immigration is one of their biggest concerns. These people, to say that they are out of touch would be the understatement of the century. Living in their gated communities with their private chauffeurs. Oh, they have their private security, but God forbid you go ahead and get a handgun for your own security. They don't want you to have your concealed carry or open carry, God forbid, license, but they have their own private security. They're not dealing with crime in their communities. They're not dealing with the illegal alien invasion. They're not dealing with the statistically demonstrable massive elevations in crime rates among the illegal alien community compared to the American citizen community. They're not dealing with any of these problems. And they hate the fact that you are and that you are voting on it. Immigration, really, above all, is the number one issue. That is the heuristic through which we can view America's contemporary divide. It was the issue that Trump ran on in 2016 when he broke through in that primary. When he said things that no Republican in modern history had ever said about the immigration issue. We all remember him going down that gilded escalator in the summer of 2015, that first press conference at Trump Tower. Mexico, they're not sending their best. They're sending rapists. They're sending this. They're that. Well, look at where we are now in 2024. Lake and Riley, say her name. Say her name. Murdered by an illegal alien in the sanctuary city of Athens, Georgia, home to the University of Georgia. A jurisdiction, by the way, where the mayor, the local prosecutor, cannot even bring themselves still to this day to denounce the wide open border that let in this monster who has killed a current student there, Lake and Riley. Everywhere you look, you see headlines about the illegal alien crime rates in this country. In Maryland recently, a beating. Out west, a rape. These are real issues. Rachel Maddow and Jen Psaki, you people can laugh about it. We, the people, happen to be living through it. I talk a lot on this show about America's drug overdose epidemic. About how in the early 1990s, after 12 years of Nancy Reagan with the Just Say No, This Your Brain on Drugs campaign, how back in the early 90s, we got to a low of around 5,000 to 5,200 drug overdose deaths annually in America. Well, the last year for which we have data now, that number is 110,000. Well, where do you think those drugs are coming from? Where do you think those drugs are coming from that led to the accidental fentanyl overdose and death of my cousin in Massachusetts, may his memory be a blessing, in 2017. It's coming from that border that you out-of-touch liberal elite idiots are laughing down our faces for having the chutzpah to complain about. But ultimately, liberal commentators, liberal legal eagles, Democratic Party apparatchiks, you can keep on laughing till your big fat loss this November. You can keep on laughing while the American people rise up against the lawlessness, the anarchy at America's open border, while they rise up against the sordid state of America's crime-ridden hellholes that are our major cities, the homeless encampments that now predominate all of America's major cities, from Denver, Colorado, to St. Louis, Los Angeles, you name it. You can console yourselves, Rachel Maddow and Jen Psaki. You can console yourselves that you still have an audience. You have an audience of Upper West Side, PhDs, some people who are still buying your garbage. There is a market here, there, and everywhere for garbage. But it's not going to work for you. It is not going to work for you. It is a truism that you are not a country unless you have a border. Borders, by definition, make the nation state. Borders, by definition, make the country. It is just as true back at the time of the American founding as it is today. And whether it is Rachel Maddow and Jen Psaki on your television or whether it is lawless judges who are aiding and abetting America's illegal alien invasion, the people are going to rise up against it. It was a judge in Texas, Judge David Ezra, who just ruled against Texas's SB 4 statute, a statute that would allow Texas state officials, the Texas Rangers, Department of Public Safety, to arrest illegal aliens who are suspected of being illegal aliens, thereby acting to do the same thing that the federal government is itself tasked with doing, to stop illegal immigration, which last I checked is illegal because it's against the law. Judge Ezra ruled against it, and we'll see how it shakes out ultimately on appeal. But the American people do not have a tolerance for millions and millions of people coming across our besieged border. The American people do not have a tolerance at the end of the day for the illegal aliens who are taking their jobs, who are depressing wages, who are flooding the hospitals and draining public services. In many jurisdictions, by the way, who are voting, who are getting free credit cards to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars. We just saw that with Eric Adams in New York City. Immigration is the one issue that touches every aspect of our lives. It is a national security issue. It is an economic issue. It is a cultural issue. I cannot tell you the number of times that I have landed at Miami International Airport and tried to get an Uber or a Lyft, and the dude can't speak English. You can go ahead and call me a bigot or a racist for pointing out that unfortunate reality. You can call me a racist or a bigot for saying that I do not like it when I am unable to communicate with a driver who was responsible for getting me safely from point A to point B. Guess what? I don't care what you call me. Throw out every slur imaginable. I've heard it all 100 times over. And more importantly, the American people don't want to deal with it either. They don't want to deal with your open border, Mr. President. We don't want to deal with all the terrible effects of it. That's the issue Republicans must run on this fall. That's the issue Donald Trump must run on. Seize it and run with it. You will win on that issue.
This is the Josh Hammer Show.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Once upon a time, the Democratic Party was a party primarily concerned with political economy, primarily concerned with bread and butter economic issues, with material conditions, with trying to improve the material conditions of their primarily working and middle class voter base. Now, I'm not saying that they always succeeded in those endeavors. I'm not saying that they always had the greatest ideas, the greatest policies. But that was at least the animating spirit for many, many years of what the party was seeking to accomplish. Woodrow Wilson, back in the day, back during the World War I era, when he was laying the seeds for the modern administrative state, certainly had this mentality. Among other mentalities, he happened to be a virulent racist who showed the KKK film Birth of a Nation at the White House, but I digress. FDR, his successor, was unambiguously, clearly, primarily motivated by economics, political economy concerns. That's the whole point of the New Deal. Harry Truman oversaw the end of World War II and the beginning of the Cold War, but he too was primarily concerned with labor unions and other economic or economic adjacent issues. LBJ in the 1960s had the Great Society. Even in the 1990s, as recently as then, when you had Bill Clinton as the two-term Democratic president, he was more moderate for sure than the likes of which we get today. But he was, above all, also concerned with economic issues. You had Glass-Steagall, the reform when it came to investment banks and commercial banks. You had the slashing of the capital gains tax cut. Even the way, believe it or not, that folks like Bill Clinton and Harry Reid of Nevada, the folks that the way that they talked about immigration in the 1990s was really primarily through an economic lens. They were really, really concerned about wage suppression and depression for American citizens. That was the primarily lens through which they approached the immigration issue, through which they passed laws like the 1996 immigration reform and so forth. All of that changed. All of that changed in the 2008 Democratic Party presidential primary when Barack Obama upset Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, who was running as the prototypical Democratic establishment figure, running on essentially a third Clinton term, minus the 8 years in the middle of George W. Bush. She was promising the same uniparty foreign policy and the same uniparty economics. Wasn't a whole lot more exciting than that. You had that, and then you had some kind of rah-rah girl power stuff going on as well, a little bit. But the coalition that Barack Obama put together, which was the first time that the true modern Democratic Party's coalition came together in that 2008 election, was very much an intersectional identity politics driven coalition of aggrieved interests of sorts, where you had skyrocketing black turnout, of course, for the first black president, massive Hispanic turnout, massive, massive youth turnout, huge, huge percentages from millennials and Gen Xers. You know, this is 2008, so 16 years ago already, so Gen Xers were a little bit younger by definition. And then you add some PhDs and some super highly educated folks, and that was the coalition. That was the 2008 and 2012 coalition. 2020, Joe Biden tends to repeat that. He drives out many of the same people. Not entirely clear exactly why the old white geezer was able to keep that coalition together, but he was, after all, Barack Obama's vice president. So from that vantage point, it makes sense. Fast forward to 2024, and the Democratic coalition that was formed in 2008, the coalition that totally changed the Democratic Party from the one-time FDR, Truman, LBJ, even Bill Clinton party of political economy and blue-collar economics. The coalition that changed it from an economics-based party to an identity politics and intersectional-based party. That is all going out the window right now. It is totally up in flames. The recent New York Times Siena poll that stole headlines for multiple news cycles. Yes, it showed Donald Trump up by 5 points over Joe Biden in the top line number. It had Trump 48, Joe Biden 43. Very accurate pollster, by the way. Very few pollsters out there as consistently reliable as the New York Times Siena College poll. But if you look across the various constituent groups, Democrats should be sounding a five-alarm fire right now. According to the Times Siena poll, the Hispanic vote, Donald Trump is leading the Hispanic vote 46 to 40 over Joe Biden. You know, I'm old enough to remember back in the early aughts, I think it was around 2004 or so, a liberal think tanker by the name of Roy Teixeira wrote a book that made a lot of headlines at the time. It was titled The Emerging Democratic Majority. And the basic thesis of the book is that as America gets less white and browner, especially with mass Hispanic immigration, Republicans are literally going to go extinct, whether it's in 20, 25, 30 years, you name it. I'm not saying that the opposite is happening, but it really is an ironic and pretty hilarious twist of fate that here we are 20 years after Roy Teixeira wrote that book, which, by the way, he has formally disavowed the thesis of that book. And something roughly approximating the opposite is kind of sort of playing out. So Trump, the very guy who campaigned on the hardest immigration platform imaginable back in 2016, is leading the Hispanic vote against Joe Biden. Even looking at the black vote, Biden has 66% support. Donald Trump is 23. 23% support in the black community for a Republican candidate, if that holds, is high enough to almost single-handedly, via that one metric alone, probably win a national election for Republicans. Just to give you a baseline of comparison, the black vote in 2008, the Obama-McCain election, was roughly 95-5 in favor of Barack Obama. Other than young people, blacks are the most loyal, reliable, and consistent constituency for the modern post-2008 Democratic Party. Well, how about young people themselves? The 18 to 29 demographic, Biden is only up by 12, 53 to 41. And Trump is cruising with the 30 to 44 demographic, 48 to 41. These are catastrophic numbers for Joe Biden. And he's between a rock and a hard place when it comes to how do you reach out to these various interest groups to try to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. To try to put the band back together and reassemble this Obama-era coalition from 08, 12, and repeated in the year 2020. He is also facing debilitating domestic support from the Muslim and Arab American community because apparently they just absolutely hate the fact that Joe Biden has at times espoused rhetorical support for our first world allies, the state of Israel, over the genocidal Islamist jihadists that they are facing in Gaza, Hamas. Apparently, Arab Americans hate this so much that they organized a mass statewide effort in Michigan in the primary to vote uncommitted. That got 13 or 14%. More recently in Minnesota, home to a massive Somali community in Minneapolis, that's Ilhan Omar's district, in Minnesota, uncommitted won 19% statewide. So you have this festering perception in the black community that Biden has not done enough for black unemployment, for black homeowners, for the economy, inflation in general. You have this very, very acute feeling among American Arabs, American Muslims, that he's not doing enough to stand with the terrorists, not doing enough to stand shoulder to shoulder with the Islamist death cult known as Hamas. But then, oh, by the way, if you try to rectify that, then you risk losing Jewish and also Christian support because the majority of the American people still side with Israel. In fact, there was another recent poll out of New York State that showed that Trump was up almost double digits when it came to the Jewish vote in New York State, which would be a paradigm-shifting historical event if that were to actually hold. Now, it was a very small sample size. I've had a lot of friends who have gotten their hopes up, being like, oh my God, is this finally the moment when Jews wake up and stop voting for the party that hates them? No, I'm not going to go that far. I'll believe that one when I see it. I hope it's true. I certainly hope it's true. But I'll believe that one when it sees it. The point is that this becomes a zero-sum exercise. You can't simultaneously appease all of these interest groups at the same time. You definitely can't appease all of these groups at the same time when you can barely string a sentence together coherently. When you are stumbling across the White House, when you are running a basement campaign, when they give you special shoes so you're not tripping, when they're hiding you from the cameras. Joe Biden is in deep, deep, deep dog do when it comes to this fall. And with quote-unquote Dr. Jill Biden pulling the strings as the marionette right now, she's going to go along for the ride. Joe Biden is not going anywhere. The Democrats are stuck with the Biden-Harris ticket. It's not going to work out very well for them this fall.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Hammer Time.
The University of Florida has eliminated all of its DEI positions due to a new state rule here in Sunshine State. In addition to slashing all of its DEI positions, University of Florida has also closed the office of the chief diversity officer and stopped all DEI-focused contracts with third-party vendors. This is part of the broader DeSantis revolution here when it comes to higher education in the Sunshine State. You had the takeover of New College of Florida led by Chris Rufo, who's on their board of trustees, and that is going to continue across numerous other universities in Florida as well. Recall that Ben Sasse, the former U.S. senator from Nebraska, is actually currently the president at the University of Florida in Gainesville. He was the president of a small college in Nebraska prior to becoming a politician, and now once again he is a president, and he's been doing a great job. You know, say what you will about Ben Sasse, and I had any number of objections to him as a U.S. senator for sure, but he is in his element as the president of a major university. He seems to be thriving in that role, and UF is a major, major public university. Florida is the third most populous state in the country, and UF is actually a very highly ranked public university. It's in the top 25 universities, according to the most recent rankings that I saw. So it is a really big deal. It is a really big deal for not just a smaller college like New College of Florida to be leading on the anti-DEI, anti-woke stuff, but actually for our flagship public university to be doing so as well. So kudos to Ben Sasse. Kudos to Governor DeSantis for continuing to push through this anti-DEI agenda. And despite all the slurs about all the racist, sexist, bigot, homophobe stuff that they throw at him, look, DEI continues to be a winning issue for the American right. The American people ultimately, at the end of the day, care about meritocracy and merit more generally. They do not want an agenda where your clout and your hierarchy is dictated by something as arbitrary as the color of your skin. The North Face company is offering customers a discount if they complete an equity course that teaches how white people never experience racism and how the outdoors is oppressive against black people. Apparently, this discount is 20% off. So you get 20% off for doing this one-hour course on so-called anti-racism. Well, first of all, how the outdoors is oppressive against black people? What in the world? The outdoors oppressive against black people? I mean, next thing we know is the depths of the ocean going to be oppressive against Asians? I mean, who's going to be oppressive against American Indians? Is it going to be like a cold climate? Is the tundra oppressive against Hispanics? I mean, where does this stop? I mean, to call this nonsensical, I think, would be a remarkable understatement here. Look, the North Face is a company along with Patagonia, another outdoors company. These companies have done these liberal stunts before. Patagonia has done any number of them. There is a very, very simple solution for companies like this that so openly and explicitly hate you, hate your values, and hate your way of life. Don't patronize them. Don't buy from North Face. Don't buy from Patagonia. Don't buy from Target. Don't buy from Bud Light. Are you seeing the pattern? If there was one silver lining from the year 2023, which had a lot of depressing moments as a year in it, it was the fact that conservatives actually showed repeatedly that they too can exercise market power just like the left can when it comes to consumer preferences. The boycott against Anheuser-Busch and Bud Light after the Dylan Mulvaney kerfuffle just under a year ago now, that backlash was devastating for Anheuser-Busch's bottom line. Target took a big hit as well. We all know what happened to the Walt Disney Company after they went woke here in the state of Florida. They started to go broke, and they quite literally lost control of their district in Central Florida. So when it comes to North Face, don't buy there. And tell your friends not to buy there, tell your neighbors not to buy there, and so forth. A high school senior is suing the Fairfax County, Virginia public schools for its policy forcing girls to share restrooms and locker rooms with biologically male students who identify as transgender. This is a recently filed lawsuit from America First Legal, which is an outstanding conservative public interest litigation outfit led by former Trump administration official Stephen Miller. This is an excellent lawsuit. I genuinely hope that we finally get some sound gender ideology jurisprudence that emerges from this lawsuit. Recall that it was unfortunately Neil Gorsuch and John Roberts, but it was really Neil Gorsuch, the Trump nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court, who penned the horrific Bostock decision, a Title VII case back in 2020, which read sexual orientation and gender identity into the Civil Rights Act of 1964 for the first time. Unfortunate that it was a Trump nominee who did so, but I say that as context because we are desperately in need of more sound rulings from the federal judiciary when it comes to protecting the privacy rights, protecting the conscience, protecting the physical safety, and indeed protecting the religious liberty as well of students, primarily girls, who don't want to deal with this crap. If you are a girl who doesn't want to deal with penises in the locker room, you are not a transphobe. You are not a bigot. You are not any of these dumb, idiotic things the mainstream media will tar and feather you with. You are a sane and rational person who subscribes to the sexual dimorphism that is inherent in the human condition. You are subscribing to the truism right there in Genesis 1:27. God made man in his image, male and female, he created them. You are subscribing to the most basic truths about the human existence. Another issue that the right is winning on and will continue to win on if we simply continue to fight back. Good for America First Legal here. The Maryland Senate approved a bill, similarly, they approved a bill that would make Maryland a sanctuary state for transgender people who are seeking quote-unquote gender-affirming health care. This passed the Maryland State Senate by a 33-13 margin. I mean, first of all, what in the world does it mean to be a quote-unquote sanctuary state for quote-unquote transgender people? So, you know, here in Florida, where I live, they say that our governor and our government is transphobic because we're trying to cut down on kiddie castration surgeries. We're trying to crack down on the so-called ability of a 12-year-old girl to chop off her healthy breasts. So does it make it a sanctuary state if you are a Floridian who is experiencing gender dysphoria and then you go to Maryland and Maryland will let you chop off your appendage or chop off your breasts? whatever. I mean, like, if this is like truly, if this is what you want so much, to that extent, then leave. Get on a bus. Get on a plane. Leave Florida. Leave Texas. Leave these states that are passing prudential legislation to regulate this wholly unaccountable so-called industry. This industry where the left is shoving its ideology down our throats and, frankly, increasingly down our pants. This industry that is feeding off of the depredations of big pharma and the hospital associations and these very expensive surgeries and the hormones and everything. If you care that much to chop off Mr. Winky or to chop off your adolescent bosom, then I guess go to Maryland. I guess go to Maryland and let Maryland deal with you because, frankly, if you care so much about this self-harm that you're going to leave a state over it, then I don't really want to deal with you in the first place, to be honest. Finally, black women teaching science find formula for incorporating anti-racist practices. So this comes from NYU, New York University. Apparently, you have a group of black women who are trying to teach science through the lens of Ibram X. Kendi-style anti-racism. Why exactly? It's not entirely clear. How this helps the pursuit of actual science? Not entirely clear, to put it mildly here. Look, at the end of the day, the entire woke intersectional DEI agenda, the anti-racist agenda, all these terms are roughly synonymous with each other. At the end of the day, you can have one of two things. You can have this utterly bizarre appeal to people that, in the case of transgender people, are going through psychological phenomena. They think that something is wrong with them. In the case of black people, they are being told that they are continually oppressed, even though they probably aren't, as the case may be in day-to-day life. You could have this mentality of trying to reach out to this coalition of aggrieved interests time and time again, or you can have the actual meritocracy upon which this country, the United States, was founded. The American people, time and time again at the ballot box, suggest they don't want any of this stuff. I hope and expect that when these issues come up on the campaign trail in this most important, in this most crucial of election years, the Republicans will not run away from these issues, but take them head on. They are winning issues. No one wants to learn science through an anti-racism agenda. They want to learn science for the sake of science. At least that was true the last time I checked.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.